Welcome to Dead Souls Social Club.
Good evening, everyone. If you enjoy our show and find our research both interesting and informative, please can I ask that you consider leaving us a 5-star review on your chosen podcast platform. Something that small really does help us out a huge amount. You can also find out more about us and our work by heading over to deadsouls.co.uk and checking us out. We are a small team of 3 researchers with more than 70 years of experience between us. You can also find us and speak to us over on Instagram. Just search Dead Souls Social Club and we'll come up. So, as always, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This audio presentation contains graphic details of death, violence, and controversial subject matter. Listener discretion is strongly advised. From Dead Souls Media, this is The Apocalypse. I'm Jamie Black, a researcher and psychologist, and I'll be your host for tonight. Out of all the species to have ever lived on this planet, all of them, with the exception of but a tiny few, have become extinct. At some point in the future, the same will happen to the human race. Nothing is infinite. I'm not looking to scaremonger here. It might take decades or even centuries to occur, but extinction is unavoidable. The future is laden with uncertainty and the apocalypse. Well, just how far away could it realistically be? Around 800,000 years ago, an asteroid collided with Earth. It was around 1 kilometer in diameter, which is around 0.6 of a mile. The crater hasn't yet been located, but we know it's here somewhere. We know because scientists have discovered fragments from the impact scattered across the eastern hemisphere. The fairly expansive debris field is strewn across roughly 30% of the Earth's surface. Humans' distant ancestors were not only alive to witness the event, but they also somehow managed to adapt and survive it. An impact of this magnitude happens between 500,000 to every 200 million years. Don't worry about calculating the time since the last impact on your fingers, I'll do the math for you. It puts us currently in the middle of the next impact is due zone. Other asteroid impacts of a larger and more destructive scale, like the one that wiped out the dinosaurs, are far less frequent, however. These cataclysmic events occur once every 100 million years or so. We are roughly 35 million years from the next one being due. Though that's not to say that it couldn't happen early, of course. These are just statistical estimates that we are talking about. But whether a collision of that magnitude is survivable, of course, is a matter of debate. Some scientists argue that human civilization is advanced enough for us to scrape by, but other scientists disagree with that conclusion. Of course. The kinetic energy released upon impact of such an asteroid would be equivalent to the simultaneous detonation of over 1 billion atomic bombs. Thinking of something on that scale is almost beyond possibility. The scale is purely unimaginable. But those who survived the initial blast, and there would be very, very few in this category, would be subjected to unrelenting earthquakes, firestorms, tsunamis, a thick layer of dense black smoke and dust, which would quickly envelop the entire planet. That smoke and dust coverage would completely darken the air and black out the sun. A nuclear winter would last for several years, bringing pitch darkness, freezing cold permanent temperatures, and total global famine. Civilization would break down, and almost all living creatures on Earth would eventually die out. But despite all of this, long-term survival is not inconceivable or impossible for the human race. Very small pockets of humanity could take refuge underground if luck is on their side, although their window of opportunity would be extremely small. Any survivors would have a tiny chance to rebuild civilization once the dust had cleared, though the world would be a very different place. On the 12th of August, 1883, an astronomer from Mexico named José Bonilla was observing the sky when multiple UFOs began to sweep across the sun. The objects gave off a coronal haze and left behind a trailing mist. The phenomenon continued for 2 days, and Bonilla counted 447 objects in total. The UFOs were dismissed as birds, insects, or dust passing in front of the telescope at the time. But based upon Bonilla's description of the event, coupled with an improved understanding of various astronomical phenomena, an article published in 2011 stated that the objects were likely fragments of a comet nearly colliding with the Earth. The only bodies in the solar system that leave trails and are surrounded by a bright haze are comets. A near miss, and almost everyone on Earth was blissfully unaware that it even occurred. It is estimated that the comet broke into more than 3,200 fragments, ranging in size from 50 to 1,000 meters in diameter, sailing past the Earth at a distance of no more than a few thousand miles. Had only one of these fragments struck the planet, it would have resulted in millions of casualties. Had all or a significant portion of the comet impacted the Earth, we would have been looking at an extinction-level event. On June 30th, 1908, in the middle of the Siberian Taiga, a powerful explosion lit up the sky. Today we know this as the Tunguska event. In 1927, roughly 2 decades later, the first expedition to the location of the explosion would identify some 2,000 square kilometers of forest flattened by the blast. Some 80 million trees had been completely flattened by the event. The broad consensus is that an asteroid or comet less than 200 meters wide had exploded a few kilometers above ground and produced a fireball that wiped out all of life for hundreds of miles. Had this happened over a city, such as New York City, we would have had 7 million casualties at the very least. But make no mistake, the survivability of an impact on this scale also depends on how much time we have to prepare for it. Luckily, over 90% of nearby asteroids and comets larger than 1 kilometer in diameter have already been identified and are continuously tracked. If one of them were to be on a collision course with Earth, we would already be aware. And if new objects are identified, we would have decades of advanced knowledge. But this only accounts for the 90% that we have identified, or will identify. There still remains a 10% blind risk factor. In fact, in 1983, a 9 kilometer wide comet was only identified 2 weeks prior to its closest point to Earth. That would have meant just 2 weeks of preparation, and that can happen again. While things have significantly improved since 1983, space is obviously incredibly vast, and we can't monitor the whole of the sky the whole of the time. In 2019, an asteroid capable of leveling an entire city, roughly the size of an average car, was detected just 1 day before it flew 5 times closer to the Earth than our own moon. Now that was a close call. While the odds of an extinction-level collision are remote, it's definitely not impossible. There is a class of objects known as damocloids. Damocloids are typified by their highly erratic and unpredictable orbits and low reflectivity. This means that they occasionally pay us a visit and are extremely difficult to detect. Scientists across the globe are currently tracking around 200 damocloids, but there are likely hundreds more tumbling through the solar system that we either can't detect or haven't detected just yet. Damocloids are, statistically on average, around 16 kilometers in diameter. If one of them impacted Earth, there would likely not be any warning, and the outcome would be complete civilization ending. Something to rest on your mind while you try to sleep. In addition to all of this, when stars die out, they explode into what's called a supernova. If a star did this within 30 light years of Earth, it would spell certain end for us all and the planet as a stable structure. Fortunately, you'll be pleased to know that more than 90% of the stars within this zone have already been discovered, none of which are at risk of going supernova anytime soon. Some stars, when they do turn supernova, can still pose a threat from thousands of light years away, however, because, well, of course they can. A gamma ray burst produced by some of the most violent explosions in the universe, supernovas falling into that category, could pose a significant risk to humanity. Instead of a spherical blast, a gamma ray burst channels its explosive field into two highly concentrated direct beams. More energy is released in just a few seconds in this instance than our sun will radiate in its entire lifetime. The biological effects of a nearby supernova or gamma ray burst are poorly understood, to be exact. But what we do understand is that the atmosphere here on Earth would absorb much of the high energy radiation, but this may also strip the Earth of its protective layer of ozone. If this happens, then extremely harmful levels of ultraviolet radiation from the sun would penetrate down to the planet's surface. Humans, and most other life on Earth, would be radiated and cooked alive, essentially. Certain chemical reactions would also scorch and darken the sky, thus inducing global cooling on a huge level. Think of it as a cosmic ice age of sorts. This would last for several years and would be lethal to the majority of plants and animals. Fun fact, a gamma ray burst might have been responsible for a mass extinction that killed roughly 70% of all marine species roughly 500 million years ago. So it has happened before. Now you could argue that humanity could easily protect itself against ultraviolet sun rays, right? Well, maybe so, on a small scale, but living through a mass extinction event would not be a pleasant or positive experience. Some authors, scientists, and theorists have painted a far bleaker image, hypothesizing that one hemisphere would be effectively sterilized by intense gamma radiation. These findings have been contested in recent years, though, so they might be wrong. Or it might be worse. Make no mistake, ozone depletion is a primary threat in this situation, and it would take something more significant than factor 50 sunblock to get through it. Nevertheless, a gamma ray burst taking a pot shot at the Earth from across the galaxy is extremely improbable. Each of these civilization-ending scenarios thus far have been intergalactic in origin. Very low likelihood, at least imminently. Sure, there are a few potential candidates within the Milky Way, though none that we are currently aware of or appear to be directed at Earth. Interstellar explosions for the foreseeable future seem relatively without stress or worry. But other eventualities are either too improbable or won't happen for at least millions of years, so ample time for us to prepare for other calamities. But around 74,000 years ago, a large volcano erupted in Southeast Asia. It is the most powerful volcanic eruption in human history. Consistently, for more than 2 weeks, the volcano spewed huge quantities of hot ash and dust into the atmosphere. Enough dust, in fact, to completely black out the sun and potentially cool the planet into a volcanic winter. There's great uncertainty about the effects of such an eruption on both the climate and humanity. The thinking ranges from severe to mild, with the latest scientific research supporting the latter. In either case, this is fairly good news. It means that supervolcanic eruptions pose little to no threat to human existence, despite the common misconception. After all, if early humans stood a chance when volcanic activity was significantly higher than it has been over the last 1,000 or so years, then so should we. But there is something here on Earth even more destructive than supervolcanic eruptions that we should be concerned about. It's a phenomenon known as a flood basalt event. The largest one occurred around 250 million years ago. In basic terms, a flood basalt event is an enormous outpouring of molten rock. The last one covered a region of Siberia the size of Europe. Coincidentally, it just so happens to coincide with the deadliest mass extinction in the Earth's history. The good news is, flood basalt events are both rare and slow, hence the 250 million year break since the last one. Additionally, instead of a singular event, it occurs as a series of eruptions taking place over thousands of years. So a kind of slow lingering doom. As such, even if such an event began to play out tomorrow, it might just be slow enough for us as a species to adapt and survive. Disruption, though, to be sure. Can we really talk about apocalyptic events without talking viruses, though? Given how we have only just recently got through a global pandemic, it's fair to say the risk is real and present. Throughout the centuries, pandemics have exacted a heavy toll on humankind. Amongst the worst was the Black Death or bubonic plague. In less than a 10-year period, it killed between 25 and 60% of the European population. The total death count is unknown, but it's fair to estimate that it was in the tens of millions at the very least. And this was at a time, don't forget, when the global population was significantly less than it is now. The Spanish flu of the early 20th century claimed the lives of many millions more. More than 21 million people globally. The tragedy of these pandemics notwithstanding, they have never come close to extinction-level events, however. None of these killed more than a few percent of the global population. The Spanish flu infected roughly one-third of the global population, yet the vast majority of these cases did not result in death. Any pathogen that not only infects but also kills every single member of a species is difficult to imagine, but also highly unlikely in a natural context. There are very few examples of infectious diseases driving a species to extinction. It would be counterproductive to the virus's own survival. That's because if a virus exhausted its selection of hosts, it would also cause its own extinction. Whilst a species decimating virus is not inconceivable, it has yet to be seen, or at least in recorded natural history. Pathogens that can pass between multiple species can be far deadlier than those limited to just one of those, of course, as they don't rely on one species for survival and transmission. The H5N1 avian influenza, also known as bird flu, is one of those species-hopping viruses. It's transmissible between humans and birds, but it can sustainably spread solely amongst humans too. Laboratory experiments have suggested that it continues to mutate and has the possibility to become the worst pandemic in human history. But pandemics are complicated. Even if bird flu did mutate, and its lethality did increase. Whilst this is a horrifying proposition, it would still not come close to causing an extinction-level event. In a worst-case scenario, most of humanity would still survive a natural pandemic. I emphasize the word natural here. Man-made viruses, or weaponized viruses, are a whole different kettle of fish, of course. These are specifically created to be as destructive as possible, and their genetic makeup would not consider self-survival or long-term virus replication. Biotechnology has now advanced to a point where we can engineer pathogens in a laboratory, and while this can greatly benefit our understanding and treatment of infectious diseases, it's not without significant risk. Accidental breaches of containment have happened on multiple occasions, and these experiments are not always conducted in the name of science. These engineered microbes are concerning because their destructive potential far exceeds that of their natural counterparts. They can be deadlier, more transmissible, and less treatable, and the rapid pace of technological progress is constantly lowering the threshold for bioengineering. It's a topic that's more relevant now than ever before, and very much in the public zeitgeist since COVID. It's fair to say a topic like this could fill an entire episode of its own. But in the narrow context of human extinction, it seems unlikely for nature to stumble upon the perfect storm. Apart from volcanic eruptions and natural pandemics, the Earth has no inherent means of eradicating the human race. At least not currently. No other form of natural disaster is powerful enough to threaten our existence, I say confidently. The most immediate threat to humanity has for a long time been, and continues to be, humanity itself. I think it almost goes without saying that a nuclear holocaust is among the most infamous doomsday scenarios since the end of the Second World War. Since 1945, we have on numerous occasions been driven to the brink of nuclear conflict, sometimes by accident, sometimes by very intentional brinksmanship. Even today, Vlad and Kim and their fragile masculinities still threatens the West with nuclear annihilation on a regular basis. The global nuclear stockpile currently stands at more than 13,000 warheads, the vast majority of which are owned by Russia and the United States. Whilst the ruling administrations of both of those nations may consider having a large volume of nuclear weapons puts them in the safest possible positions, the truth is the exact opposite. The United States and Russia are the two countries most at risk of experiencing a nuclear attack from an enemy. It's kind of self-explanatory, really, but if a country is going to attack the United States or Russia on a nuclear level, then it has to be sure to be able to wipe out everything or face nuclear retaliation. This essentially means they would be subjected to nuclear overkill. In addition to that, with every enemy of those countries knowing that they are nuclear armed, you can be sure that any attack will leave no stone unturned, so to speak. But in the event of an all-out nuclear war, these thousands of bombs would instantly vaporize hundreds of millions of people. But the explosions themselves are only the beginning. The real danger of a nuclear conflict is the aftermath. In fact, you better hope that the nuclear blast vaporizes you, as surviving is arguably worse than dying in the initial explosion. Much like an impact event or supervolcanic eruption, a thick layer of smoke and dust would quickly engulf the globe and block out the sun. A nuclear winter that showers the world with radioactive fallout, firestorms, radiation poisoning, and mass starvation would easily claim the lives of billions, even if you aren't in the conflict zones. However, because humanity is not evenly distributed across the planet, some regions would be less affected than others. Island nations like New Zealand, for instance, are all but certain to survive. Large parts of Africa and South America will avoid the direct blast zones, though they will be affected by the fallout. The effects of a nuclear holocaust are almost too bleak and dismal to contemplate. What's more worrying is that we have almost faced nuclear Armageddon on more occasions than we realize. You see, humans are fallible. We make mistakes. Mistakes that could result in apocalyptic levels of destruction, the likes of which have so far been reserved by nature. One that most of us are aware of is the face-off between the US and the Soviet Union in the 1960s. In October 1962, tensions between the US and the Soviet Union were strained to breaking point. It was the height of the Cold War. These tensions culminated in a situation known as the Cuban Missile Crisis. It is perhaps the closest we've ever come to global mass destruction. The short version is that the US installed nuclear missiles in Turkey specifically to ensure that the Soviet Union was in range of their weapons. In response, the Soviet Union installed nuclear missiles on the island of Cuba so that the United States was in range of their weapons. The United States were not happy with Russia playing them at their own game, however. So the United States imposed a blockade of Cuba to prevent the Soviet Union from exporting more missiles to the island. During the blockade, a Soviet submarine was detected near Cuban waters, and in an attempt to force the submarine to the surface, several US naval destroyers dropped low-intensity explosives to signal the submarine to the surface. The captain of the submarine, however, misinterpreted this as an attack and ordered his men to retaliate against one of the US destroyers by launching a nuclear-armed torpedo. Fortunately, one of the two senior officers aboard disagreed with the captain's decision, and eventually managed to convince him that they should instead surface and await orders from Moscow. Thus the apocalypse was averted. On that day at least. On May the 23rd, 1967, all of the early warning systems across the United States ceased to function. In fact, all manner of military communications and radar technology malfunctioned simultaneously. It was interpreted by the US as intentional jamming from the Soviets. Multiple bomber planes immediately scrambled and prepared to launch an attack on Russia. But just a few years prior, a branch of the US military had begun observing solar activity and its effect on Earth. And on this specific day, the sun had ejected a powerful solar storm that struck the planet and knocked out military defenses and other equipment. Had this observation project been delayed by just a few years, no one could have explained this nationwide interference in time to prevent World War III. Declassified documents that were released in 2015 reveal that the United States military has had over 1,000 close calls and accidents with nuclear weapons since the 1950s. That's more than 1,000 occasions when cataclysmic devastation was just narrowly avoided due to human error. Who knows how many near accidents the Russian military have experienced in that same time frame? Given their secrecy as a country, we might never know. Though it's likely more than the United States, given their age and technology, lesser safety standards, and higher stockpile of nuclear weapons. It is truly a miracle that we've come as far as we have. The other significant man-made threat often overlooked by catastrophists is artificial intelligence. It's no secret that it has had a profound impact on modern society, particularly over the last decade. From self-driving cars and virtual assistants, to social media algorithms and facial recognition, it has significantly impacted our current culture. And some experts are concerned about the future direction that AI will go in. A future in which intelligent machines become more intelligent than their human creators. The concern is not so much about evil robots, a la The Terminator, but more about misalignment. A misaligned intelligence is one that's not properly aligned with human goals, objectives, and values. A system that becomes dangerous not due to any malicious intent, but due to an oversight in its programming. An unforeseen loophole that allows it to do things it was never intended to or programmed to do. If such a creation was sufficiently intelligent, it could become unstoppable. We also have to consider the intelligence explosion. When a machine that can upgrade itself and thereby increase its own intelligence at an exponential rate, essentially becoming self-aware and entirely unreliant on humans in every way. Moments after creating such a system, it could far surpass the combined intelligence of all humans that have ever lived. Such a creation may have little to no regard for human affairs, concerns, or matters. Human priorities could fail to register as significant in any way. Think of it along the same lines as the regard that humans show for species less intelligent than us. How important are the values of a domestic dog or cat, a frog, or a housefly to you? Where on your list of importance does a mouse, a bird, or a fish register for you? Think about it. With all that being said, these concerns are far from universal. While some scientists consider it a real and credible threat to our existence, others consider it nothing more than science fiction, a worry over nothing. A survey was conducted back in 2016, whereby more than 300 experts in artificial intelligence and machine learning were questioned on their thoughts about the future of AI. On average, they gave a 50% chance of an artificial intelligence creation surpassing all human abilities by 2061. Some of the respondents thought it will happen in just a few years. Others believed that we are more than a century away from facing that reality. This was before the ChatGPT boom, of course. When asked about the impact of this technology, the majority of respondents believed in a positive outcome. But then, of course they did. It was the field that they all worked and specialized in. So there is some significant bias there. extinction was only given a medium probability from the responses. Artificial intelligence is not the only emerging technology with a potential for human extinction, though. But the problem with assessing their risk is that we have no precedents for comparison. We can estimate the likelihood of an asteroid impact by surveying the geologic record and our cosmic neighborhood, and of course by comparing historical statistical data. But there's no historical context for artificial intelligence or self-replicating nanomachines. It's all pure speculation and guesswork. Did you know that when the first nuclear device was detonated in 1945, there was a genuine concern from scientists and engineers at the time that the nuclear explosion would ignite the atmosphere and incinerate all life on the planet in an unstoppable combustion of the air? One of the observing scientists was so taken aback by the enormity of the explosion during the first test that for a brief moment, that's exactly the chain reaction that he thought had happened. Whilst this doomsday scenario did not come to pass, it's a cautionary tale. And also worth adding that from a physics standpoint, it remains an entirely plausible outcome. Yet, scientists, engineers, and politicians went ahead with the detonations anyway. And again, and again. No one really knows what the future will bring. All we can do is proceed with caution and hope for the best. Over the past few decades, species across the plant and animal kingdoms have been disappearing at an alarming pace. Some 10 billion trees are cleared every single year. While animal populations are rapidly declining, many species are also going extinct. The global rate of extinction is now hundreds of times greater than it was before humans became the primary species on Earth. And it's accelerating. This isn't a climate change podcast or episode. This is simple, irrefutable fact. More than 1 million species are now threatened with extinction, and the root cause can be traced back to the simple realities of overconsumption driven by overpopulation. Extreme waste on a massive scale, pollution, pillaging of natural resources, deforestation, and mass abuse of the natural world. Humanity is now depleting 3/4 as many resources as the Earth can actually replenish. This means that we will soon need a second planet Earth just to sustain our existence at current levels. Our relationship with nature is so utterly broken that many fear we are unable to reverse the damage and already heading for extinction. While some of the most comprehensive assessments to date do indeed point a truly dystopian image of the future, none of them forecast total annihilation of the human race just yet. We may turn the planet into a living hell. After all, we are really good at doing that as a species. The sheer magnitude of our destruction is difficult to grasp for even the most well-informed experts. All it will take is one potential tipping point, a threshold that once exceeded may trigger an irreversible decline of ecosystems around the world, a global ecological collapse from which recovery becomes virtually impossible. We are really good at burying our heads in the sand, though. But it's not all doom and gloom. Many catastrophes can drive us to the brink of extinction, but all of them struggle to complete the task. We as a species are equally fragile and tough. Like cockroaches, our bodies aren't strong enough to withstand too much, but it's difficult to rid the world of all of us. So that should be somewhat reassuring. Even if humanity was reduced to just a few hundred individuals, a full recovery might still be possible. Granted, it would take many thousands of years to return to a similar position, but recovery would not be out of the question. Some ancient civilization theorists actually believe our species has done this before. The more we expand beyond the confines of this small planet Earth, extinction from any singular catastrophe becomes increasingly unlikely. Perhaps the apocalypse won't be dealt by a swift, decisive blow, but instead a gradual decline over a prolonged period. One disaster triggering another, a chain reaction of cataclysm. Regardless, it won't happen anytime soon. The world will still be there when you wake up tomorrow. I hope. Before I end this episode tonight, I just want to take this opportunity to invite you all to head over and join our Patreon. You can join for just $2 a month, so a huge bargain at less than the cost of a cup of coffee. For that $2 each month, you get access to bonus episodes only available on Patreon, research articles, and blog posts. Our next episode there drops in 2 days, and it's the second part of a series regarding the Elm House conspiracy, a subject which we would never be able to cover on conventional podcast platforms. So why not head over and join us? Sleep well, everyone.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show tonight. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review on your chosen podcast platform and subscribe to our show so that you never miss an episode. Our shows aren't sponsored by any company or corporation, so any support you can give us goes a long way in supporting the work that we do. From all of us here at Dead Souls, sleep tight.